Good morning, everyone. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Turn to number 42 in Songs to Remember, number 6. Number 42, He did it all for you and me. Number 111. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Key. By the way, folks, how good is it to see Brother Key back up there leading singing again? I don't think he wanted applause, but if I know Brother Keith, good to see he and Sister Shirley both back today. It's been a long road for them, and they still need your prayers so much. But, Sister, they came Wednesday night, and it was good to see them here Wednesday night. And he told me this morning, or he sent me a message this morning, that they was going to try to be here, and I'm just glad to see them is what I am. I'm glad to see them. I know we have had a lot of sickness among some of our older ones and others too, and there's still a lot of things that are going on among our people, but we still need to be doing a lot of praying. In case that you haven't heard, our oldest member, Sister Theda Cherry, passed away the other day, and her funeral will be Tuesday. Do remember her family in your prayers. Sister Theda hasn't been able to come for quite a while, so maybe some of the younger ones maybe will not remember Sister Theda, but we do need to remember them in your prayers very much. We have Sister Charles, who is now our oldest member, and she is not in good health either. So we just want to remember all of our members, sick or not sick. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying one for another, and I hope that's what we'll do today. It is a special day for us here at the church at Murfreesboro. We had a good service last night in the singing. The ones that were here last night seemed to enjoy the singing a lot. And I've heard good reports from our membership that was here last night. And I believe just everybody enjoyed it a lot. But today is a special day. We have a time set aside here today. After our church service, we're going to have lunch. And then we're going to have children's activities today, and they might even find a piece of an egg or something like that with a piece of candy in it. So they might find something like that. Now, when I was growing up and we did those hunts like that, those eggs were about as, I'm going to be bad, easy on it. They was about as terrible as you could get as far as candy was concerned. But it was something that we always look forward to, and I think our kids are looking forward to that today. But we are glad to see everybody out today. I hope you've had a good week, a good time to be praying and serving God this week. I hope you took the opportunity to invite somebody to church is what I hope you've done. And with that, in times, you'll see people come in is what you'll do. They may not come the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth, fifth, or wherever, how many times you ask them. But eventually, they're liable to show up, and that'll be a blessing for you. It is good to see each and every one here today. I'm going to move right along and get into the remainder of our service at this time. We're going to call on Brother Sam, if he would, to do our children's church this morning. Brother Sam.
Over here. You don't know how precious it is right there.
I also have to pay
attention. Giddy up. All right. Who's ready for the fun and games this afternoon? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had your attention. So it'll be fun to do that, right? Sometimes it's okay to have fun at church, you know, when it's appropriate. There's times to be serious. You know, one of the most serious times that we have is when the preaching begins. So I would hope that we're all serious, that we're quiet, we're in our place. You know, we're listening. We're not distracting our neighbor. But sometimes it's okay to have fun, right? You know, and Jesus, sometimes he spoke in terms of things of the world that people knew that weren't, they maybe had a biblical thing, but they had a different slant to them. But And that was just so in the 15th chapter of Luke when he talked about three things that I'll talk about in a minute. But for the fun part of this, okay, let's loosen up and have a little fun, all right? Y'all know what dad jokes are. Don't roll your eyes at me. It's okay. Does anybody know a good dad joke? You know what a dad joke is, right? You do, don't you? Okay. It's kind of silly. Okay. Like this. What kind of lights did Noah put on the ark? Floodlights. Come on, Hope. That was good. You got to laugh. Come on. I got an eye roll on that one. All right, here we go. Here we go again. Ready? How did the Apostle Paul make his coffee? He brews it. Hey, brews, get it? Oh, come on. You got to like that one. I'm not getting much response over here. You got it, didn't you? Yeah, you got that. All right. Back to Noah, okay? Why? Why couldn't they play cards on the ark? Because Noah was always standing on the deck. Come on, you gotta like that one. All right, one more, okay? One more, then we'll get serious. One more. What kind of car did the apostles drive on the day of Pentecost? What? It was a Honda. They were all in one accord. I'm not getting much. That's a hard crowd right here, I'm telling you. You got to laugh. Come on, sir. All right, here we go. Bring it down. That was all fun and games, and we can do that from time to time. But when it's time to get serious, folks, be serious. The Lord talked about in Luke 15 of a coin that was lost, a sheep that was lost, and a boy that was lost. Now, a coin and a sheep may not mean much to some people, but the boy does. And the boy was found. And just like he said in the other places, that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And that's the serious part. I love y'all. I love to have fun with you. But this work, these people are serious people. The word that's going to be preached today is serious dialogue. And that's why we're here. Not to always have fun and games, but it's always good to fellowship. But let's get serious about the Lord. All right, stand up. I love you. That's it. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Brother Sam.
I'm not sure if Luke got to it, though. He laughed. Oh, okay. I'm just thankful for the good blessings that we get out of that. And just thankful that we're going to be able to be blessed to have joy in heaven. Amen. It may not be a dad joke, but it's going to be so joyful. Amen. When we get to heaven.
That's right.
And I'm thankful that we have that blessing today. It's good to see each and every one out here today. If you're visiting with us today, we want you to make yourself right at home with us. If you're not a visitor, but you're usually here, make yourself at home with us. Just come in and let's all serve the Lord together. You know, sometimes we talk about making our visitors welcome, but sometimes it's good for us to make ourselves welcome in the house of the Lord. And that's what I want us to do today. We want to move on with our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We had a lot of prayer requests in our Sunday school this morning, but there may be other prayer requests this morning. So if there's somebody else has a prayer request, somebody have one? Bless you, Stevie. Appreciate these prayer requests, and I appreciate her prayers. And I think it's something good that we all pray one for another. And yeah, she was praying about her burdens, the things that were bothering her, but she said she'd been praying for us too, and that's good. Mm-hmm. Somebody else have a prayer request on their heart? Yes. Let's be prayerful for Brother Lanny. He'll be having surgery this week. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Somebody else? Amen. Let's do remember Sister Kendra's daughter and her husband. All of these other sicknesses are bad. Don't get me wrong about that. But one of the most dangerous sicknesses there is sin sick.
Amen.
And we need to pray for them, and she's asked you to take on her burden. And so I'm asking you, take on that burden of prayer. We've got some others in here we need to be praying for. And you've heard them mentioned. And if you want to mention them today, that's a good thing. Go ahead and mention them. But let's be prayerful for these. Let's remember these prayer requests. Sister Kendra has not been well either. Let's pray for her health. But let's pray one for another. Somebody else.
I'd like to mention a family friend, Lisa Reed. Mm-hmm. Her mother is elderly, mm-hmm. and she's seemingly getting down toward the end. She suffers from a lot of things, including dementia.
What hell?
But it's seemingly that she's just ready to go and not eating, not taking medicine.
Lord have.
And we all call her Grand, and the Lord knows her. Mm-hmm. I'd ask prayer for her.
Lord have. Let's remember this also. Somebody else. Somebody else.
Brother Hack, I want to stand.
Bless your heart.
Give God credit.
Bless your heart.
For answered prayers. Yeah. You know, in this building right now represents a prayer that I prayed just a few days and a prayer I prayed a lot of days, mm-hmm. you know. And I just want to give him credit.
Bless your heart.
Amen.
Seeing Jenna come up here with that sweet baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's years of prayer by so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And God has answered that.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and last week we were driving home and Chris told me that his mama tried to come 2 weeks in a row. She tried to come, but she couldn't come. And I thought, I'm going to pray for her to get to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a group I pray with on Monday mornings. And I asked them to pray about it. Yeah. And you know what? He answered it Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that limits God's hand.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
That's right.
If you've got a burden,
yeah.
He'll answer it in his time.
He sure will. Bless you, Sister Heather. It's good for us to praise God when we get our prayers answered. Somebody else got a word. It don't have to be a prayer request. You got a praise of God, do it. He deserves our praise.
Yeah.
Bless you, Brother Keith.
College or on a business trip or whatever.
Bless you, Brother Keith. Good advice there at the end. Just let the Lord lead this service. Somebody else. Somebody else. Truly a privilege for us to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. And as it's done been stated, we have some with us today that are not saved, and we want to see them saved. Amen. And we've got some that's not well, but we want to see them. We want to see them well. So be prayerful as we go on through this service that it'll be what God will want it to be. Anybody have another praise or another prayer request? It is good for us to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us all pray is what I would ask you to do. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Trey, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Number 98, I'll just keep on calling on his name.
Oh,
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Last song this morning, number 100.
Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? Good service thus far. Good blessings and testimonies and prayer requests. I'm not going to brag on the jokes. That's why they call them dad jokes. They're like that. Appreciate everybody being here today, and I want everybody to be prayerful today that you will follow the Lord. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning? I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I want this message to come out the way the Lord wants it to. And when you hear my reading lesson this morning, you may, when you get to the end of the message, you may think, where in the world did he go? So this is the way I started out. My thoughts, I usually try to start thinking about a message on Friday, and you might think that's a little odd, but that I do a lot of other studying beforehand that's for Wednesdays and other services throughout the other part of the week, but I really bear down on a message on Friday. And after I'd gotten up, I was sitting at the table, and I was thinking, Lord, what am I going to preach? What are you going to put on me this week? And something on the news, and I thought about the blessings that we have. And I thought, well, Lord, is that what I'm going to preach? And it just kind of went from there. And then I went to another thought, and later on it all kind of come together, and I hope it comes out all together is what I'm going to hope. But I need your prayers on that. We're going to take a reading lesson from the 11th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke Mark and Matthew, they are pretty much together in their writing of the Gospels. They have a little different verbiage. Some of the timing of different things are in different places, but they tell the same story is basically what they do. John is a little different than that, and I'm not going to get into that anyway. But I'm going to ask you a question today. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? I see some hands going up. Good. How many of you know the prayer that you pray for a meal? The one we teach our kids to pray. How many of you know that one? That's good. Have you taught your kids that or your grandkids? It's a good thing that we teach our children to pray. And what the scripture tells us is the apostles asked Jesus on one occasion, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Now, we find the one that most people quote is out of the Sermon on the Mount, and that one he just told them in the sermon how to pray. But here they asked him the question, teach us to pray. Or make the statement, I guess is a better way to say it. 11th chapter, 2nd verse is where we're taking our reading lesson. And it says, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's reading verses 2 through 4 for our reading lesson this morning. As I was saying, the thoughts of a message in the early part of it had to do with the blessings that we have. And there's one particular phrase that maybe we kind of take for granted when we say the quote, what we quote call the Lord's Prayer. Many preachers nowadays are calling it the model prayer. It is a model of what in the way that we are to pray. Many people have in their minds that you're supposed to pray this prayer and that prayer only. I don't believe that's what the Lord intended. What he intended was for us to follow this type of prayer, these type of thoughts that he had here. But there's one line here that maybe many times we take for granted, and that's the part about our daily blessings. Did you notice in Matthew it says our daily bread, but here it says give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day. Now, whether we like to think about it, in our country here today, we are a very privileged people. We are. We have plenty of food to eat. My understanding is that actually we throw away more food, enough food. I'll say that, change that. We throw away enough food in this country to feed most of the nations of the world. That's pitiful. So by that very, very thought, we tend to take our daily food for granted, don't we? We go to the refrigerator, we look in it, then we'll go to the cabinets and we'll look in that and we'll say there's nothing to eat here. That's what we say about our children, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just as guilty as they are. There's nothing that I want. But we take it for granted about our daily bread is basically what I want you to think about today is our daily bread. Now, I want you to consider a few things out of the scriptures today as far as bread is concerned. And we're going to take this a little bit further, and I want you to keep in mind about the bread, the food, the blessings that you have today. And even the most ultimate blessing that there is. I want you to keep in that mind, looking for the ultimate blessing of all blessings. For we are to be thankful for God's blessings, for His goodness. I like to say it, His mercies that He puts upon us. That is the blessings that we have. But I want us to take it in a daily form today. A daily form as far as the bread is concerned, and not just the particular meal as we will enjoy after a while, but looking for the bread of God. Now, there was a time in the Old Testament where God provided a meal for everybody. Not only for just one day, but from day to day. And that time was when the children of Israel had left Egypt for the Promised Land. And they got out there in the desert and they started running out of the food that they had carried with them. And so as every one of us, they started to complain. There's nothing to eat here. There's nothing in the refrigerator. There's nothing in the cabinet. Look, Moses, why'd you bring us out here that we just starve to death is basically what he said. Now, what Moses told them in the book of Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter in the 3rd verse, and he said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, from that, we're going back a few chapters, the 16th chapter, but it is important for us to remember today that we're not especially talking about colonial bread. Wait a minute, they don't make that anymore. Sunbeam bread, or Wonder Bread, or even cornbread. That's not what he's talking about here today. This bread that God used to prove the children of Israel was a particular kind of bread, and you notice that it was called manna, is what they called it. Now, if you look at the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, you see this starting to come into play in their lives. And when the children of Israel had started complaining, oh, Lord, we don't have anything to eat. Moses, you brought us out here, and we're going to starve to death. We'd been better off just to stay in Egypt, is what they tend to think about in these manners. But you start to see something happening here that shows the children of Israel just exactly who God is. God is the provider. It wasn't Moses that provided the food. It wasn't Moses that divided the Red Sea. It wasn't Moses that brought the plagues on Egypt. It really wasn't Moses that delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it was God that did it. Now, he used Moses during those times, but now, this time here, God was going to show them that he was going to provide a daily bread for them. Now, what you find in the 16th chapter here of Exodus was the Lord had commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel. He said, there is going to be like a frost on the ground. And he said, you're going to go out and you're going to pick up this frost. And it's going to be on the ground every morning is what it's going to be. Now, my understanding, these little things that he saw. Now, I think most of us, when we hear the story about the manna and Moses and the manna, we tend to think of a big loaf of bread, maybe even a round loaf or something like that. But actually, it was kind of like a frost is what it says. And they have a particular size that they give it. And what I kind of understand, it was probably a little bit smaller than a green pea. And it would be on the ground. It would be on the plants and everything. And everybody of the children of Israel, every morning was commanded to go out and to pick up just enough for them and their family. That was the guarantee that God said. It'll be there every morning that you get up. This bread, this manna, is going to be there for you. Now, what he said, you're going to gather this, and he had a particular measurement for them to get. And I'll get there in a minute. Bear with me. And he got that, they picked up that particular amount, and it would be just enough for each person. If there was three people in the family, they picked up three bowls of this manna. And then when they got it picked up, they carried it back to their tents or their homes, and the people would start to prepare it. Now, one of the things that when you start to bake bread, if you go back to the original wheat or corn or to one of the other grains, you don't just take the bean or whatever you want to call it, the grain as it is, you don't take it just like it is and bake it and make a loaf of bread. You have to crush it. And what you do, you would take like a little thing about this long, and you put it in the bowl, and you'd work it, and you'd grind it up, and you'd make it a fine powder, you know, kind of like flour, and then you would fix it in with water or whatever, and then you could bake it into a bread. That's what they had to do. And after they had formed the dough and put it into place, and they brought it in there in just such a way, then they put it into the oven that they had, and they would bake it, and then it would nourish them. Now, one of the great things about the lesson that God taught them was that there was just to be enough for that one day. If they picked up or decided to have more for the next day, not putting their faith in God that he'd give them more, it wouldn't be fitting to eat. It would have worms in it. It would stink. It was awful. So then they would have to, where they thought they was going to cheat and not have to work at it the next day like they did, they'd still have to go back out and gather again. Remember, this is a daily bread we're talking about today. And the rule was 6 days you'll pick it up, but on the sixth day you can pick up twice as much. And this day, on the Sabbath day, it'll last all the 2 days. It's always going to be there. As long as you follow my ways, is what God said. Now, I'm going to guess it probably took at least 2 weeks of people trying this out before they figured out that they needed to listen to God. It did. It probably took them 2 weeks at least. And I would about bet they was somebody in the bunch said, I believe I can get by here on Friday, and I won't have to pick it up Saturday or Sunday, either one. They found out God was true to his word. Bear with me for a little bit, and I want you to go, because we're going to talk about daily bread today. The bread of life is where I want to go. And we're going to the sixth chapter of John. In the sixth chapter of John, we find that Jesus, in the first part of this chapter, he does a miracle that everybody talks about. How that he fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men actually, not counting the women and children that was there. He fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. After that, he dispersed the people. He told them to go and rest, but he told his apostles to get in a ship to go over to the other side. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray, and when he had prayed, they were in the midst of the sea in a storm, and Jesus came walking to them by night. And he got on board with them, and then they went on to Capernaum. Well, the next morning, all those people had been fed. They came out and they started looking for Jesus, and they said, well, he went up in the mountain to pray. Where is he now? They decided, well, we'll just take a boat over and we'll go find where Jesus is. The rumor was he was in Capernaum. So they get over there and they find Jesus in Capernaum. And they start talking to him. Lord, how'd you get over here? Lord, these things that you've done, we want to be with you. Jesus makes a statement to them, and he said, you don't seek me because of the miracles, but you seek me because you ate and were filled. The miracle of the loaves. Now, I'm going to get to this here in a second, so bear with me just a minute. When that they went through this, Jesus told them in the 26th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, 27th verse, labor not for me the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Today, bread, the food back here, the food that we eat in our cabinets and in our refrigerators, it will sustain us for how long? Paul says about me, I can eat my meal at supper time, and within just a little while, I'm looking in the cabinet again. Maybe you're that way. But we're talking about a bread today in which that you will never hunger again. If you'll remember when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, he said, I'll give you a drink of water which will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now he talks about thirst, and now he's talking about food, and what he is telling you, there is something that you can get that will lead into everlasting life. Give us this day, day by day, daily bread. And what we're talking about is a bread that gets to be in an everlasting life. In this story here today, the people, when Jesus had told them about this bread and about the everlasting life, they asked him a question. Well, what sign are you going to give us? Jesus, they said, Moses, he fed the people in the desert for 40 years. You just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes yesterday. Who are you that we should believe in you and trust in you? Now, in the 32nd verse, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. They brought up that Moses had fed the people there. There are people out there today that have in their minds that, well, this preacher or this person here, he is the one that gives us the deliverance from our sins. I want you to understand, the true bread of life came down from heaven, and true eternal life does not come through a preacher or a church, but it comes from God. When Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The true bread that he was speaking about will be brought out shortly. He said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You see, there is a phrase there that they really could not understand completely. When he said, he cometh down from heaven, he came down from heaven. Jesus was the one that came down from heaven. Moses did not come from heaven. He was born as any man or any woman in this world. He was a human being. He had never went up into heaven to come down from heaven, but Jesus' beginning was in heaven with his Father. And he was telling them, he is the one that came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, when you start to look at this, the very people then says, give us evermore this bread. I want you to understand something today. The true bread of life is a one-time thing. It is. It's a one-time thing. You are nourished by the bread of Jesus Christ into the fact that it gives you life, not just for today, not just a day-to-day type bread, but it is a bread that fills forevermore. He is dying on the cross, and we'll get into that more here in just a minute. In verse 36, he said, and I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They did not believe the very things that they saw. They saw the miracles that Jesus had already done. This was probably about 2 years into his ministry. He had already performed many miracles. These people had saw the bread of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. They had saw these things, but yet they still did not believe. But Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The idea that I want you to understand today, that if you'll come to Jesus seeking this bread, this holy bread, the bread of Jesus Christ, saying that he is the bread of life, if you'll come to him, he will not cast you away. He wants you to come in a particular way. One of the verses that I think I skipped earlier, he said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, he was saying believe on God, but believe on him that God sent. Remember what John 3:16 said when he said, for God so loved the world that he sent, or he gave his only begotten son. He gave him, God gave him to us. He gave us the opportunity of this bread. Now, I want to skip over to the 47th verse this morning, where that Jesus still in the same discussion, the same message to them said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I want you to understand that what he was saying in verse 29 and verse 47 is basically the same thing. He is telling you to consume the bread of life. You've got to believe in who he is. You've got to believe who Jesus was. And what he said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. Now that sounds like a hard statement when you say that in that way. But the bread that Jesus was giving, wanting to give them, was not a physical bread. It was not a piece of white bread or wheat bread or a barley loaf that they were used to. But it was a spiritual bread that they needed to consume. In order for the children of Israel to live there in the wilderness, they needed to go out and to get the manna daily. In order for them to live, they needed to prepare it in the way that God wanted it to be prepared. And in order for them to have that nourishment, they needed to bake it as God had said. And as they did that, they were nourished and lived 40 years in the wilderness, is what the scripture tells us, by the bread that God gave them. But they died physically. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers eat of the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. You see, Jesus was trying to tell them about him. He said, this is the bread that you will not die. People today, we all realize down deep there's coming a time when we will die a physical death. But the fact of the matter is, there is a time when that your soul can die spiritually also, and that is the second death, as they call it. And you'll find that in the book of Revelation, where you're cast off into hell forevermore. But there is life for those that will believe. Now what he says, Jesus said in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forevermore. And the bread that I will give him, give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the Lord of the world. I want you to take that last phrase first in this verse. He says, I will give it for the life of the world. You see, Jesus was telling them, I'm going to die that you may consume me. Not the actual body of Jesus, not the actual blood of Jesus, but it is important for every sinner. It was for me to take Jesus in to me. He had to come in to my heart. He had to come in by his Holy Spirit and come in and nourish my soul. He had to give me that life. He had to give me that bread for me. Jesus was speaking of something that they had brought up about the manna and how that they would live by that bread. But Jesus' intention for them was that they would live forever. Not in Israel, not in the land of Israel, but to live in the promised land of God. That was what he was talking about. And he was saying to them, I give my life for the world. The Jews at that time, they truthfully thought they were the only ones going to heaven. They thought they were the only ones that could be in God's house. There's religions today that are that way too. And if we are that way today, Lord, help us. For we need to realize that God will save each and every one. He has died and gave his life for all the world is what he has done. And that is what he is telling them there. But he wants us to remember, in order for us to have life, we've got to consume him. Take him into our hearts. Take him into us, that we have that bread. Now, when we think of these scriptures, I want you to listen again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. We are coming up on a season now, and we started today in many ways. It's what we call the Passover week, and we call it the time of Easter now is what we call it. And what we actually are referring to is the time that Jesus died on the cross, that he gave his life for our sins. But then they buried him, and in 3 days he rose again is what he did. Now, in that, I want you to understand, if any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh. You see, Jesus was telling them, I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my body is what he's saying. I'm giving you my body that you might have life. At that moment in time, now, like I said, this was probably about a year before that Jesus actually died on the cross. He, knowing what he was fixing to do, he told them, I'm going to give my life for you. And so this is what that he wanted you to understand today, is he is the bread of life. You want to call him the water in your life? Yes. If you want to call him your breath? Yes. He is the one that you need to take in to your heart. He is going to draw you in that way to bring you to him. That's what he's going to do. Brother Key, our message is about done today. I want you to think about today taking in Jesus. Now, I don't ever want to make it sound like it's just your decision to do it. Yes, it is a decision that you'd seek God, but I want you to make sure you understand it's going to take what? One thing. And that's what Jesus said in that verse that I told you a while ago. Except that you believe that believe on him that sent me, him that God hath sent. Except you believe on these things is what he's telling you to do. That's the way you get him into you today. I want us to stand and sing. If you're here today and you need to seek the Lord, you do that today. I just pray that this message has come out in a way that you can understand it today. While we stand and sing, let us stand and give praise to God today. But if you're lost, seek God today.
Number 275.